We are interested in the theory behind creating interactive systems. And this course is a course that you can't get anywhere else. We have taught a version of this as a summer school at Harvard, MIT, Northeastern, a bunch of students from there. And we've taught various elements of this at Stanford and in Aarhus in Denmark and in various places. But this is the only place and the only year that you can actually get all of this right now. And we've taught it for the past 3 years in this form, I think.
Yes.
All right. So the reason I say that is because we're trying to teach you a way of thinking, and we're going to challenge you. This is not hard in the sense that we're asking you to do hard stuff, you know, or not huge amounts of, it's not like the Design of Interactive Things class where I'm throwing 1,000 things at you and you have to keep just doing another thing and another thing and another thing. It's like, stop this. This is less. We're gonna actually throw a bunch of stuff at you today, but you don't have to remember all of it today. This is just to give you the overview today, and then we'll step back and go through piece by piece. But what is hard about it is that we're teaching you a different way of thinking. We want you to rethink how you envision and create interactive systems. And this is a powerful course. If you can master at least some of these design principles, you will find that you can have a major impact on the kinds of systems that are designed. There are a lot of very poorly designed computer systems out there, and one of the things that is frustrating for us as people who specialize in human-computer interaction is to see how much bad stuff there is out there. And instead of just critiquing it, what we want to do is find ways of making it better. So that's what this course is about. All right, so we call it Fundamentals of Situated Interaction. Why situated interaction? Well, when you design an interactive system without thinking about the context in which the user is actually interacting with the system, you make a number of mistakes. You don't think about, you know, breakdowns, like how it can fall apart, what can go wrong. So for example, if I design a system with the assumption that there's a really high quality Wi-Fi network going on, and then that breaks down, then from the user's perspective, the whole system is wrong. Even if it's not your fault that the Wi-Fi went down, the context of using that system makes it the case that your system isn't very good. And so what that means as a designer is not that you say, well, I have to control everything, because you can't, but rather design for the idea that there could be a breakdown like that and think about what you would do. So for example, if you're on Google Maps, can I download the map in advance so that I can keep working with it even if the network goes down or something like that, okay? So we're thinking about the context of use, and we're thinking about what are the fundamental issues that users face when they're interacting with interactive systems. All right, so.
I'm gonna ask something. We're gonna go back and forth, so.
Yes.
you probably know about user experience, you know, UX. UX is all over the place I'm sure a number of you are doing internships in industry where you're gonna work or be a UX designer. And we think and we believe you don't design the user experience. Right. The user experience is what each person experiences when using the system. So it's not designed in the same way that you design a new iPhone and it is what it is, and then people have to sort of deal with it. So that's why we talk about situated interaction, because we want to design for situations that we anticipate users will be in when they use the system, but we don't want we cannot design the experience itself. Right. So it's just, you know, and I know UX is out there. Now they talk even about user engagement and things like this. But I think there are really misleading terms. So trying to correct that. Hello.
All right, so let's get
so
started.
So if you want to go to the website that has the material, here's the QR code. So bring out your phones. Here's a bigger one.
If you need to find it, it's also on our website. It's just another one of it. It says 2026 Fundamentals of Situated Interaction. So we're findable, easily findable. And that's our website. This is my lab's logo. You all got it?
Okay, all good?
All right, so now, we have lost a day, because as you may have remembered, last week there was snow and we were not able to get here, and so we missed the first day. Now, there is a makeup day on February 4th, I believe. Yes. And the problem is that Michelle and I will be at an all-week gathering for a research project. And in fact, all the PhD students who are sitting in will also pretty much be there. So we have two ways of dealing with this problem. So this means we have six slots left. Now, the thing that I don't like, but
just,
we can do.
Just to be clear.
Yeah.
To me, the makeup day is the 24th of February. It's the extra week.
Right.
Where we can overflow, which we're already using.
Right, because we're going to do the
presentations
that day.
Because of the snow day. And on top of that, we're not here on February 4th.
All right, we'll say it like that. Okay, if that sounds better to you, fine.
No, it's just to point out, because I know in the calendar, in the official calendar, that week of February 24th is clear, although it says, don't go away because there may be overflow courses.
Right.
Right?
So we knew we were going to have to use that because of this other week-long thing.
Right.
But because we also lost a day to snow, that's a problem. So there are two solutions. The solution that they recommend for us is to make this a 3.5-hour class, and you get an extra half hour. And we basically feel like that's a really bad half hour for you. 3 hours is already a long period of time to be in class, and to add an extra half hour and pretend that you're going to get an extra half hour's additional content is kind of silly. So the other solution is to use that date where we are not here as a work day for you. And you have it in your calendar, you can work in your groups, but you can use it as sort of project development time. And I think, we'll ask for a show of hands, but if I were you, I would prefer that. In which case, then, we would shift to a 9:30 starting time, which is generally better. So, option one, 9 o'clock, 3.5 hours, 6 sessions, and you just go for it, and we can do that. Option two is 3-hour session, normal thing, starting from 9:30, going to 12:30, and that one day on February 4th, you're on your own to work together in your groups. So, option one, hands. Okay. Option two, yeah, that's what I figured. Sorry for those of you who raised your hand on the first one, but, what that means is that you really do have to coordinate with people in your group and decide how you want to use that time. But you're adults, you're master's students, you use the time as you want. All right, so let's move on. All right, course format. There's going to be lectures by Michelle and me. We will alternate back and forth. We occasionally interrupt each other and sort of remind each other of things that we've forgotten. But by and large, there'll be one of us giving the main part of the discussion. We're doing something different than what we did for the past couple of years, partly because there's a research paper that came out of this course that was just published this year at the CHI conference. And so we don't want you to just do what they did. So we are going to use Google Slides as our example to show you step by step how to apply these principles to fundamentally rethink a complex interactive system, in this case a creativity support system. Your project will not be on that topic. So we are using the Google Slides examples as examples for you to help you think. And so we were going to use, we'll talk about analyzing them, critiquing them, and then a variety of specific activities that you will see as we come along. The main thing is, the main source of your grade will be as a group. There's a few solo exercises that we will use, but generally, as I do in my other courses, individual exercises, we expect you to do them. We try to give you feedback, but they're mainly to see if there's somebody who's really not pulling their weight in a group, to make sure that the people who are working hard do get some credit. But by and large, it's going to be the group grade that you get. All right. We're going to ask you to do a low resolution prototype, a video prototype. Those of you, I think all of you have taken the, not all of you actually, but most of you have taken my course on the design of interactive things. So you'll know about that. We will show you as you need it. And then we'll ask you to do a high resolution version. Every year, there's usually one, maybe two groups that actually want to do some coding and actually build the thing. That's fine. That's lovely. But you can also use tools like Figma or Google Slides or whatever tools you like, Canva, I don't know, whatever seems to be reasonable to illustrate your new design. And then there will be a final presentation at the end, and you will show us what you've done and how you've incorporated the principles that we're about to teach you into your system. All right. So individual exercises, 20%. That's my slush thing. Group exercise, 20%, low res, 20%, and then this is the main thing that is going to be important. All right?
Yeah. And the final presentation?
I guess that's...
That's part
that's
of the...
That's this thing. When you're presenting that, that's the main thing. So it's the main part of... It's slightly less than half your grade. Okay. All right. So the design brief. We are going to do something that is actually quite challenging, which is to think about video conferencing systems like Zoom, Jitsi, BB Collaborate, there's a
Teams,
ton of them, Teams,
WebEx.
Microsoft Teams. We're assuming that all of you have used them. You've all been through a pandemic. We have all been through a pandemic. And so you know something about these things. And what is remarkable to us is that despite the fact that we instantly went from no online classes to sort of 100% online classes in a very short period of time, which was very difficult for both students and faculty because we had to kind of figure out how to redo all of our material at a distance. The actual tools that are out there have not really gotten better. They're all pretty awful for a variety of reasons. Now, you may think they're fine, because if you're just using them and you're not really worried about them, you just may think they're fine. We will show you that they're not. That's part of what we do, be able to critique them. But we also want to use this as an opportunity to think about where we can go in the future. I should mention this is a topic of, you know, I said we're away for a week. We have a major project called the PEPA Ensemble, of which Michelle is the director, one of the co-directors, and I co-direct a sub-part of it. And the whole idea is to rethink collaborative work. And do you want to say a word about this government initiative?
Yeah. So PEPR is an acronym that I don't remember what it means, but it's large national projects funded by the France 2030 plan. And so the ones that when he's talking about called Ensemble is the future of digital collaboration, no less. And it gathers about 80 research groups across France in computer science, HCI, but also social sciences like sociology, economics, law, and all that. So looking at you know, collaboration, not just from the technical perspective, but also what it means in terms of, for example, having new regulations so that systems are more interoperable, or what it means for protecting personal data and things like this. And so there's 80 research groups, and essentially it has funding for over 100 PhD students, also postdocs and also engineers. And so in February, there's a week-long meeting,
a gathering,
where we're expecting over 1,000 people, where a PEPR Ensemble and other PEPR, there's a PEPR on cloud computing, there's one on cybersecurity, there's one on AI, there is one on future networking, there's one on cultural and creative industries, so there's a bunch of them. So we're all gathering together, and in our sort of slice of this, we've decided to do a
hackathon,
a design hackathon, not a coding hackathon, a design hackathon, to reinvent the tools for collaboration. And one thing that is worth explaining is that we all use systems, whether it's Google Docs, whether it's Zoom and all the others, that are you know, not made in France or even in Europe. And you may have heard that, you know, there's this whole thing about sovereignty over our data, over our tools. And so the French government has actually created an agency called the DINUM, Direction Interministérielle du Numérique, that is developing tools for video conferencing, for shared editing, for cloud sharing of files, for chatting and social networking, that are based on open source software, and that they are, you know, developing in open source as well, but deploying on servers that are in France. And so they are keen to hearing from us, meaning people will participate in this hackathon, about ways to improve their tools. And so one of the reasons we took this topic of video conferencing, as Wendy said, is you all experienced it, so I hope you're all suitably frustrated by these tools to some extent, and have ideas to make them better. But also, it's a way to participate, in a sense, indirectly into this national project.
And I was just going to say about the digital sovereignty. You may not know this, but the companies that run these video conferencing systems are collecting your data. They're looking at you. They're recording what you're saying. They're recording what you're doing.
They're watching what's in your background to send you targeted advertising.
They are keeping track of what you say to train their large language models and so on. And one of the reasons we stopped using VB Collaborate is because the university had it until 2 years ago and then stopped when they discovered that IBM was doing this. And basically in Europe, as you can see by the current geopolitical situation, having Europeans be able to protect themselves and be able to operate in a way that they can control what's going on is increasingly important. So for those of you who are interested in this as a topic, either for research or for potential potential PhD project,
but also internships. I mean, there's
for internships and also for just jobs. There's a lot of interest and resources that will be and are being applied to this. So that's why we picked this. And the hackathon, those of you who will be participating in the hackathon, we have several PhD students in the back who will be coming to this thing, and so you guys should have a leg up with lots of great ideas that will come from this. All right, so the idea is we're going to rethink how you do video calls, and we're going to do it with what we call generative theory, which we'll describe in more detail, but there's basically three basic steps. There's the idea of analyzing an existing system, such as Zoom or Teams. We'll use Google Slides as an example to explain how the principles work, but you will be doing it with respect to a video conferencing system. And you want to try to figure out which of these principles already exist. And then you want to critique it and decide could it be improved if you then changed it using these principles? And then finally, the fun part, which is the generative design part, which is to construct a new way of thinking about it using the principles. So that's basically where we will be with the design.
Just because I remember your faces, but to a certain extent, how many of you have taken my class on groupware and collaborative interaction? Okay, so you realize you have an advantage, right?
You should.
Well, there was an entire lecture on media spaces, if you recall.
Right. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk to you about generative theory. We're going to give you a few examples. Oops, the one didn't go to a three. We moved the order about this four times, so that one didn't quite quite make it. And then we have some homework. There will be reading to do. There's two different articles that we'd like you to read for next week and two more that we ask you to read for the following week. The first one is actually it's a book chapter, so it's longer, but it's not written as a research article. It's written as a kind of a how-to explanation. And then this is a classic article from way back when, 2000, that talks about some of these theories from the beginning. And then the following week, we will be going in and you will find out more about what it means to do generative theory. This is a journal article at at Tokai, which is our top journal, and then the paper that I mentioned that is really using the results of students' work from the past couple of years to talk about this notion of interaction substrates, which you will hear lots more about. All right, so let's start with something concrete and actually get going. What happened to my, oh, it's in my pocket. Okay. All right. Can you hand out the pencil thing? So we decided, we go back and forth on when to do this, but let's start here. So these are pencils of various sizes. So I have a couple of pencils. You don't actually need pencils. Here, have a pencil. And now I haven't got enough for the rest of you. So here, have some pencils. Pencils, and I don't think I have enough pencils. But you have pencils, so you're already way ahead of me. All right, and now I've given out all the pencils.
It should be three.
So.
Two.
So this is a solo exercise, so do this by yourself. Remember the whole thing about when you're doing brainstorming, it's better to start doing it individually first, and then you will do something where we discuss with other people when we create groups. So just. He's almost there.
Oh, you can start thinking.
You can start thinking, yes. Start thinking.
Thank you.
All right. All right, I'm going to give you 5 minutes and then see how you are. Think of how many uses you can think of for a pencil. What can you do with it? What can it